Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to Circle Sanctuary Network Podcasts, brought to you by Circle Sanctuary, one of the oldest nature spirituality churches in the United States, connecting people of nature-centered paths around the world. Join us through the week for a variety of shows discussing various topics, celebrating the divine in all of its forms through nature worship, rituals, education, and building bridges of community.
Welcome to another episode of Moon Magic with Jeanette and David Ewing. And tonight we're going to talk about guided meditations and journey work and some of the differences between them, what you can use them for, what what one can hope to get out of these different types of practices and ways you can use these to do inner workings during this dark time of the year. Yeah, Dave can talk too, if Dave wants.
Sometimes. Sorry, I was distracted. Shiny thing.
Oh.
There was something. Right, so during this dark time of the year, many people, many practices, I mean, this is a time to reflect and work on inner things and, like, work on identifying the things about yourself that you may need to grow on or work on, or seeking guidance from the ancestors or spirits, the divine. That's more introspective. No. Sure. Okay. Yeah, a little distracting there. Jeanette had a hat on that had little dangly things on it, a witch's hat that had little dangly things, and there was a cat coming up behind her, stalking her to see what was going on.
I didn't realize what she was doing. So this is a hat that I got.
Quick sidetrack.
Yeah.
You get that at Mystic South?
Yes, I did. I got it a couple years ago at Mystic South, which is a conference that is held in a hotel in the greater Atlanta area. And sadly, like many other things this year, they weren't able to hold the event in person. And this hat is... What did she, oh, she's right behind me still. This
like
is a
crocheted.
Yeah, it's a crocheted hat with black and then black and orange yarn that was used. And at the top, there's this a couple of little dangly things. There's this little teeny weeny bottle with it looks like orangey glitter type looking. It's sort of iridescent-y.
Yeah.
And
couple of pentacles.
Yeah, right. Two little teeny pentacles. And so they dangle and they make noise. And it's chilly down here in the basement, so I had it on. And I wasn't paying any attention to what one of our cats was doing behind me.
A black cat was coming up behind her, stalking, like, what is that making sound? What's going on? And it was kind of cute.
It is cute.
Yeah.
Yes. So.
There. Okay, so anyway... back to what we're talking about tonight. Little distraction, cats and dangly things and bright and shiny, noisy.
Bright and shiny,
noisy things. So dark time of the year, this is a good time to work on things that you want to work on for yourself, more introspective kind of stuff. And this is because it's dark so much more, you know, the night is longer. The idea of working with, you know, doing inner journeys and meditations, which are guided meditations and journeys are different, but they both serve a similar purpose of seeking guidance from your intuition, from spirit, from the divine, from your ancestors or whomever, and working on that kind of process. So it's yeah, it's a good time of year for that. So
And many people are familiar with doing some type of meditative work, although, and it's worth noting, there are plenty of people who follow pagan and other defined earth-based spiritual paths that don't do any of this type of stuff. But for many pagan and Wiccan paths, however they are defined, there are a lot of people who do.
Yeah.
And as part of the work that many people do to help with grounding and with shielding is to learn how to use one's mind to focus.
Yep.
It is a way of getting into a type of altered state, although the degree to which that will happen will depend on the type of process, will depend on the steps that one takes to get them from, and to get their brain really from a more active state into a quieter frame of mind. I guess that's one way to put it.
Yeah.
And then also to get them into different brain wavelengths, because there are different wavelengths. I don't think I'm even wording that correctly. Your brain waves, there you go. Your brain waves go through different states based on whether you are active and conscious, whether you are in deep sleep, whether you are in REM sleep, and whether or not you are in a type of altered state. And there can be a number of different ways people are able to achieve that, to get into that state. So guided meditations tend to be ones where the process of getting one into a particular state for a purpose of doing something X, Y, or Z can be short. It can be a lengthier process. The ability to get into that state, to be receptive to getting something out of a type of guided meditation, is going to vary from person to person. And what we've done in the past when we have done guided meditations as part of a larger ritual is, depending on the number of people and whether or not it's for a big group or a smaller group, we will take people down through, and this is something we'd cobbled together from a few different resources.
Yep.
And one of them is Christopher Pinczak, who has a series of books that are pretty good. Now, he's got a series of books, Temple of Witchcraft series of books. And his first one was The Inner Temple. Then there was The Outer Temple. Then The Temple of Shamanic Witchcraft. And then he has one that's focused on Higher Temple of Witchcraft. And then there are ones, there's one for gods and one that's for goddesses. And all of these books are designed in such a way that there are journeys or guided meditations, however you want to term it, that he has written out within the book. And at least the first three books came with a four-disc either a 2 or a 4 disc CD companion, so that you, the person going through the process,
sold separately.
Yeah, it is sold separately.
Yeah.
So that you, the person, could listen to these journeys and guided meditations that he put on CD, so that you would be able to go through them, because reading them out of a book and then trying to go through it can be difficult to achieve something.
True. And like when we were first starting out, before, you know, things like this were available, you would see a book, and it would, you know, a book would have like a guided meditation or something, you know, the outline and the journey or whatever you're doing. And they have the instructions of what you're doing this, and imagine this, and picture that, and you know, feel this, and you're encountering this and stuff, and it would all be written out. And the advice at the time, and this was back when, you know, cassette tapes were a thing, the advice at the time was to read it into a cassette recorder so that you could listen to it later and not have to, you know, so that's how you would do that. And, of course, most of us really don't like the sound of our own voices, so that was really distracting and really tough to really get into. So what was nice about Christopher Penzack was that he did create these companion CDs that have a variety of wide range of exercises and activities that he guides you in, that he guides, and it's then you as the person who's studying this and working on it, has you can you don't have to worry about remembering what you're supposed to do, or you know, or recording your own voice and then trying to deal with the fact that you're talking to yourself with your own voice that always sounds different from what you're used to anyway, and stuff. It's really nice, and he has a good tone of voice,
right,
to do this with. These CDs. He has a good voice for this.
And
that was good. That was
yeah,
good.
And these books came out quite a while back.
2000s, early 2000s?
Yeah.
Inner Temple came out in 2002, Outer Temple in 2004, and the Shamanic Witchcraft is 2006. So, yeah, early 2000s in the aughts.
Well, I hadn't realized it was so long ago. So
it was long, almost 20 years.
Well,
15 years.
We're old. This is one way to do meditative work, but it certainly isn't the only way. And he uses the term journey. This is not to be confused with shamanic journeying. I would describe these as a type of journey work, but even the book that, you know, the Temple of Shamanic Witchcraft, he labels it specifically shamanic witchcraft.
Yep.
So it's not the type of shamanic work that that would be done by people of different ethnic backgrounds that have this as part of their culture's practice.
Right.
And for a number of people, we do, those of us in the pagan community, we at least strive to try to be sensitive to cultural appropriation.
Yeah.
And we don't want to try to make a claim about something that have a practice that has roots from a completely different ethnic group of individuals. So I do have to put that disclaimer out there.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there are people, part of, I guess you would call it the modern shamanic movement, that have written books where they've distilled together various kinds of shamanic practices of different cultures to create a modern shamanic practice that's not pagan or Wiccan or Christian or anything. It's just, it tends to stand alone with the practices, and one can believe whatever one wants to believe,
yeah,
as part of your practices and beliefs in deity, et cetera, et cetera. Some of those people are, one comes to mind, Michael Harner is one of them, and there are a few others that have created what is called core shamanism. So those are different kinds of practices, and I think those kinds of work, now, can they be something that people can adopt? Yes. Are there basics to journey work that people can do that have their roots in some sort of shamanic practice?
Sure.
Certainly.
Yeah.
But it is something that people ought to be aware of when engaging in these particular practices. Kind of know where the information comes from in terms of working to develop a practice. So for many, guided meditations can be a way to engage in a practice that can either be longer or they can be shorter. Selena Fox does a lot of guided meditations of varying lengths that we've been present for, with workshops that she has led that's longer. She's also done things that typically are shorter in duration and might only be focusing on something pretty short and finite,
yeah,
as an activity with her podcasts.
Oh, true.
Yeah, she's, I don't know how many. I'd have to, like, listen to every one of them and count up the number of times she's incorporated some sort of short guided meditation and what
she
does.
That would take weeks.
Yeah, that would take weeks.
Yeah.
She's done hundreds of them. And even, I mean, we replay her episodes.
Yeah.
On Sunday nights, but even, and these were, you know, previous shows from the past 7 years, but still there are a lot of them. So, to start off in a simple manner, one can do a guided meditation for something pretty simple or pretty short in its duration and its goal, such as doing a journey to connect with a season or a time of year. Another example of doing journey work can be to work on maybe connecting with a god or a goddess.
Mm-hmm.
You can do guided meditations of any given length to perhaps connect with ancestors or an ancestor.
Yeah.
One of the things that Christopher Pinsak did in his Outer Temple of Witchcraft books, because he broke that, in that particular book, he broke things down into chapter. There was a little bit of stuff on gods and goddesses, I mean, he doesn't go into huge detail because that's too wide and varied of all the different deities, of all the different cultures. There are guided meditations and journey work that you can do to connect with maybe a spirit guide. And one of the things that he does as part of this Outer Temple Witchcraft book is he created journeys to these different realms associated with elements. There's a journey to the realm of fire, water, air, and earth. And I describe those as a journey rather than a guided meditation because of the way he wrote the journey, where you were going down into a tree and then coming out some other place and then connecting with a temple associated with that element and having a particular experience. So that is one example of a type of guided meditation that you can do that then kind of morphs into a kind of journey. Again, I'm very hesitant to use the word shamanic. I just don't like to use that word unless it is really specifically associated with specific kinds of shamanic work. But you can definitely call it, I mean, it is a type of journey.
And really too, not to like say that these are really super different kinds of things, but a shamanic journey or just journey in particular, is a type of meditative practice because you're kind of, there's a lot of commonalities between the two. It's what you do once you're in that state and what you're connecting with. So like a meditation is more, I think to me, a meditation is more self-centered, more of who am I, what am I connecting with, where am I, what's around me, what is going on in my life that I need to work on, or that's what a meditation to me is. Meditation,
mm-hmm.
Whereas a journey to me, and this is where you get into like different definitions based on who you're talking to too. But to me, a journey is where you're extending yourself out to reach out, to connect with something external. So, like, connecting with a spirit guide, or with a particular god or goddess or something. You're in your mind, you're going to where they are. You're going in your mind, you're going someplace to meet something or somebody else. I think in a very, very, very basic definition, that would be a journey, whereas a meditation is more what's around you and what's about you and what are you more centered kind of a thing, where you're not really envisioning going someplace to do something. You're dealing with something within you, around you, about you, or you're trying to see how things are connecting to you or affecting you kind of a thing. So I think that's where, if you really want to get into like, well, that's kind of confusing because it can be confusing because people will use journey and meditation almost interchangeably.
So I think that's
kind of a thing, is like, let's just do it just to be, what's the difference? To me, personally, that is the difference in how I see them and work with these things and work with those techniques.
Right, and so one can make the, one can use that as an example where a journey then is when you're going into a type of meditative state where you are led to, or you lead yourself if you're used to doing it enough, then you can take yourself to those places if you have been guided through the steps on how to get there and how to visualize enough times, if that makes any sense. For example, in doing journey work, you might be led down into a cave or down into some sort of underground place, and then you are taken through a series of different places and guided to go through a series of different places on during that particular type of meditation. And then it may stay guided the entire way, or after you get to a quote-unquote destination of some sort where you might, if it's, you know, depending on the type of journey where you meet, you're in a place and you're, the purpose of this journey is maybe to meet a spirit guide or an ancestor or some sort of deity or a plant spirit guide or an animal spirit guide.
Right.
And then it's left up to your subconscious as to where that is going to end up taking you. So there's this kind of in-depth, free-form element. How's that?
Right.
Whereas a guided meditation, they tend to be shorter, and they're going to be, I think, highly specific to do a highly specific kind of thing. And so and for me personally, again, that's where I see the difference. Now, I've been influenced a lot by stuff that we did when we were younger. Again, some of these Pinzac books, meditations that people like Selena Fox. I mean, we do the engineering for her shows, and we've done it for her shows for years. So we've sat here and listened to nearly all of them in part or in full over the past several years.
Right.
And there's a particular way that she does it, and for what she does, there is a specific goal she has in mind for that particular short guided meditation to connect one with XYZ. Likewise, different from this also is when doing types of shamanic journeying, whether it's shamanic witchcraft or something else, there are some common elements, and one of these is taking people down through, or taking one down through the lower world and then the middle world and the upper world. Sometimes it's also described as maybe the underworld or something along those lines as well.
Right. And in a journey, it's usually more interactive with what you're encountering during the process, where you're interacting with animals or spirits or something that you're taking yourself out there to interact or to work with something or somebody or you know else a spirit, whereas the meditation is more observational of like what is happening around me, and the journey is I'm going to interact with what's around me, and I guess there's a way to kind of differentiate between the two.
Maybe
because you're going out to so you know in a way many guided meditations that many of us in the pagan practices experience could fall into a journey type definition too, because a lot of times they do that.
That's definitely true, and
yeah,
especially if they are more detailed in nature. Now, one of the things that we did not talk about was sound.
Oh yeah.
For some people, it can be really helpful to have some type of background sound as a way to get rid of other distractions, and the repetitive motion or a repetitive sound of some sort, like a rattle or a drum, whether or not it's one of those big djembe drums or you know, the rounder, flatter ones.
Right.
Or rattles.
Yep. And just that constant undertone of sound, nothing complicated, but it lets your mind take root in what you're doing and where it's at. It helps to clear away distractions by giving your mind something else to focus on while you're working on this process, so that you're, because we experience things through all five senses, you know, so by using some sort of music, drum or rattle, that attaches to your hearing, to your audit, to that sense of your sense of hearing, to engage that sense so that it is less likely to get distracted by other sounds or things that may be around you. But it's nothing complicated that's going to confuse things. You know?
Right.
Something that you can just a you know,
right,
on a drum or a heartbeat.
Right.
You know. And just that, and that gives you something, and it also gives you something to focus your breathing and your other senses to that rhythm that helps you shift into that mind state to be better able to go on a journey or to kind of step out into that, into a meditative state, so you can either continue to do meditation or participate in a journey. So that's where the sound is really useful, and there's a lot of music out there that you can look out, you can find, you know, journeying music and stuff that you can find. And the key is to find something that is that's just going to keep you in that state for what you need to do.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Especially sound that is attuned to heartbeat and or breaths. When you start to slow down your breathing,
yeah,
and you start to take slower breaths, and that is tied to your heart rate slowing down. And then there are practices that are also designed that will guide you through getting rid of stress in your hands and your feet. When you listen to certain things, somebody leading a journey, even if you decide to record it yourself.
Yep.
Ahead of time, once you start to speak slower and you have pauses in between, that helps to slow down all of your senses again, including your breathing and your heart rate. One of the things that also helps, and Selena is not the only person who's mentioned it, other people that we've had on the show or we've listened to their or attended their mm-hmm. workshops talk about your sense of smell.
Yeah.
Now, David tends to get sneezy with a lot of incense these days.
Yes.
So we don't do a lot of incense anymore, and I'm sure it's not terribly helpful to the kitties. So I don't do too much of it. But in the absence of that, also if you happen to be one of those people that has breathing problems associated with incense, you're certainly not the only one. There are essential oils that can be used. Many of them are very calming.
Yep.
That could help get you into a relaxed state. Some of these include patchouli for some, lavender, maybe chamomile,
mm-hmm.
although I don't care for the smell. I really don't like it. I wouldn't use it. Some people really like it. I ain't one of them.
No.
But I do like lavender as a relaxing scent. There are likewise other scents that will just take you to other places. And increase spiritual vibrations, for lack of a better word.
Yeah.
Like frankincense and myrrh.
Mm-hmm.
Other scents that might be more grounding, such as maybe juniper or pine.
Mm-hmm.
The ones that I like to call the Christmas tree scents, juniper, fir, pine, there's Scotch pine, there's also pinyon pine that has a deeper scent.
Cedar.
Yeah, cedar. And there are multiple cedars.
Yeah.
To me, personally, they're good for, I find them to be very grounding. They have good base notes that are good for that sort of thing, to help people get into a, again, a more grounded state. And they can also just be good for attuning yourself to certain kinds of practices. For example, if you wanted to work on, and frankly, while it's useful and very helpful to have living specimens of plants, one thing you can also do at this time of year is use essential oils to connect you with the spirit of a plant.
Yeah.
And work on maybe establishing some connections with different plant spirit guides. And there are a number of different books and practices that are related to that sort of thing. But smelling the plant and the plant's essential oil can also be good for that. One that I also like, it's not easy to come by in an unadulterated or synthetic form, is sandalwood. Now, I have just a little bit of, and this is years old, but it's still really good, the true Indian sandalwood, which is very rarely sold these days. It's the Santalum album. I have, it's a just a little bit from a quarter ounce bottle. I recently, last year and a half ago, I bought New Caledonian sandalwood. So in other parts of the world, like Australia, New Caledonia, which is an island to the west of Australia,
yeah,
north of New Zealand, and Hawaii, they are sustainably growing cousins of the Santalum album plant, or tree rather, in these parts of the world, and then sustainably harvesting them. And they have a scent that's very, very, very close to the classic Mysore Indian sandalwood. They're pricey, just warning you, but they are really nice. And like frankincense and myrrh, they are really good for getting you into a meditative state, because it raises spiritual vibrations and it connects.
Okay, it's east of Australia.
Oh, it is east. And so is the friggin' New Zealand. They
right.
are east, and
right.
I said west. I'm like,
right.
it's on the right-hand side.
I'm sure I'm a little caught up with that. Sorry.
It's on the right-hand side of Australia.
Yeah.
It's like over here.
It's not over there.
It's over here, because if you go to the west, don't you bump into Madagascar or India or something eventually? Kind of, sort of, maybe.
Africa eventually.
Or
yeah.
tip of, or maybe South Africa.
Yeah.
So again, those are really good for getting you into a good meditative state as well. So you can dilute them and put them on pulse points, or you can put a few drops on a tissue and take some nice deep breaths, inhale it, or you can use a diffuser. There's a number of different ways that you can work with that. So what do you have there, Dave?
Oh, I was looking at this, different sounds, different shamanic journey music samples. Most of it's going to be, like, a lot of it is Native American sounding, with, like, a flute or a drum, and it's just that style of sound. Different speeds. I was kind of checking some out here that were really fast. Like, to me, it would be too fast. There was one that was, like, it was like... To me, that's just way too fast.
It seems like it's too fast to me, too.
To me.
But it's going to be really, definitely be... Again, this is one of those things that becomes a personal preference.
Right.
For me, I find a slower pace of a rhythm to be much more useful to get my brain slowed down. Yeah.
Nothing. I wouldn't do anything faster than that myself. But something of that style, of that type.
Right.
And that was just me tapping the table to make some sound.
Right.
Really fancy drum. So. Yeah. There was a woman named Sandra Ingram.
That's the person.
That's who you're thinking of.
She's
got a lot of stuff out there. Yeah. Yes,
that was killing me, because I could not
think of the name.
Remember the name of the woman. And there are several people that I know that...
Ingram.
Yeah.
Sandra Ingram.
Yep.
There's also Andy Kopeman. There's... who was it? We've got some CDs from who's actually like Navajo or something, Native American, Southwestern. Dang, can't remember his name.
We're old. We have poor memory now.
We got forgetting stuff itis. There's a variety of things out there. Just search for like shamanic drumming, shamanic, you know, journey music. Healing music. I'll remember the person's name I'm thinking of here about a half hour after the show ends.
Oh, probably so.
Yeah.
Probably so. So just as you can, again, do work to connect with, again, whether it's a short guided meditation to maybe give you a small sample of something, or something much more in depth where you go on a journey, you can use these methods to connect with, again, ancestors. And you can even break it down into types of ancestors, whether it's your ancestors of family or ancestors of culture or ancestors of
spiritual ancestors.
Yeah. Or
yeah.
Teachers.
Yep.
Or those kinds of things. You have animal spirit guides, plant spirit guides, stone spirit guides, or spirit helpers. You often use hear that that term as well. And since this is a time of year where people, even now, are still looking to connect with ancestors, there are a number of different podcasts that Selena has led that specifically focuses on ancestor work and ways to connect with ancestors. And those podcasts, not all of them, but many of them, have some sort of guided thingy, what's its whatever.
Yep.
So there is that that you can do if you want to connect specifically with just ancestors.
True.
There's also books that are good for teaching people how to connect with just plant. There's a lot on animal spirit stuff, and there is a growing number that do talk about doing plant spirit work.
Yeah.
So to round things out, would you like to do a short guided meditation to connect us with this time of year? Or would you like me to?
Go ahead.
Okay. So we're going to wrap things up by doing a short guided meditation to connect us with this season, this time of late fall and this time in nature when the earth is getting ready to hibernate for her long winter sleep here in the northern hemisphere.
Yes, and we had frost this morning when I woke up. The grass and things were covered in frost to remind us it's getting cold, getting dark, slow down. Look in, tuck in, work within.
So we're going to start by taking some nice, deep breaths. And breathe in. And exhale slowly. And then breathe in again. And exhale. And as you repeat these breaths, make sure your feet are planted firmly on the floor. You can sit on the floor, or you can sit in your favorite cozy chair and sit back and relax. And as you breathe in and then exhale, with each breath that you breathe out, focus on the stresses of the day, moving down through your body, out through your feet, and imagine yourself connecting through the floor in the concrete or brick your home is made of, and going past those and touching your toes in the cool, damp earth, and feel yourself being grounded. And feel all that stress leave through the soles of your feet. To move through the earth and into the soil to be transformed by the earth. Now close your eyes, and as I count down, slow your breathing even further. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6. Five, four, three, two, one. Visualize yourself at the edge of a great forest. And as you look around, you see a path leading into the forest. Walk slowly. Look at the trees around you. Are there still leaves on the trees? What colors are the leaves? Do you see any that you recognize? And as you walk slowly onward, look at the earth beneath your feet. Take notice of any animals you see in the trees or maybe scurrying across the ground. Look and listen. Are there any birds? Is there a flurry of activity? As animals are preparing for the winter. Or is it soft and quiet? As you walk slowly onward, continue to watch and look around you. Is it bright and the sun shining through the branches? Or is it cool and crisp? Is it dusk, the shadows lengthening on the ground? Take a deep breath and smell the deep, rich smell of Mother Earth. Listen to the leaves crunching beneath your feet. Listen and look around and experience the sights and smells and sounds. Of the end of autumn, as nature prepares for the beginning of winter. And continue walking when you are ready to lead you back out of the woods to the place you started, noting any particular animals or birds or insects or other creatures that you see along the way. When you are ready, as you step back out of the woods, We will count back to 10. To end this guided meditation. One. Two. Three. Four. Five. Six. Seven. Eight. Nine. Ten. Open your eyes. Look around. Think of those things that you associate with autumn that you saw in your woods. Recall any trees, branches, leaves. Of the forest that you encountered. So that is one short example of a quick guided meditation that just takes you to a place to make be help set the mood, set the tone, to get you into a state to maybe get your mind ready to start doing some inner work.
Yeah.
Now, there are a lot of internet resources. There are, again, besides the Pinzac books, there are a number of other books that are out. There's a whole host of them that focus on working with animal spirit guides or animal totems, however it happens to be worded for that particular author. There are also plant and fungus totems by Lupa Greenwolf. There is also a plant spirit guide book, also by Christopher Pinzac. There is a beginner's guide, again, we just mentioned her earlier, by Sandra Ingerman on shamanic journeying. And it is a
CD.
Yeah, it has a CD, which is one of the reasons why I like this particular book, because it's pretty short and sweet. It's very beginner-oriented. There are a number of CDs out there to help with guided meditations. Hey, and you know what? Phones are our friend. We have these things called cell phones, and you can record things, including your own voice. Or you can get a friend to do it. And
yeah, find a friend who has a good voice and have them do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that way you can go into a guided meditation, you know, use it as a tool for a guided meditation or do it for some, you know, some other in-depth journey work. So this is just a beginning on things that you can do for this time of year. And use this as a first step into the world of journey work and guided meditations. And you can go so many different places based on that. Another thing you can do is do shadow work as part of journey work as well.
Yeah.
So next month, we are going to have how many different shows are we
going to
do? We are going to do three.
Yeah.
Yes. Because of the weird way that the full moons fall during the month of December, we're going to have one at the beginning of the month. We're going to have a full moon ritual at the end of the month. And we will have a mid-month show yet to be determined.
Yeah.
And, in fact, our full moon show for December is going to be let's see. We're going to show on the 3rd, the 17th, and the 31st. Am I looking at this right?
Let me look at the calendar. In December,
I think
we have a ritual on the 3rd, a talk on the 17th, and then a ritual on the 31st.
Yeah, so we're going to do a ritual and new moon, or rather, new year, new beginnings.
Good riddance to 2020.
Good riddance to 2020. Maybe we'll just do a big giant banish the heck out of 2020 ritual.
Yeah.
I kind of like that idea.
Yeah. Exactly.
I don't know about you, but I'm kind of over it. Yeah.
Yep.
And so, Selena, let's see, the rest of the month for Selena, we have on the 22nd, this Sunday, is Healing with Sacred Fire. November 29th is Healing with Sacred Water. Selena's next show on the 23rd is, no, the 25th is Thanksgiving Rituals. So it's the day before Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Laura's show on November 23rd, is with Reverend Florence Edwards Miller, and they're going to be talking about interreligious winter celebrations. And on November 21st is part of our Paganos del Mundo is with Harway Tuliva, and hopefully I've said the name right. And then on the 28th of November is with Patricia Finkler.
Mm-hmm.
So what song would you like to take us out with tonight?
It's a good question. I was thinking The Greenwood Grove by Dave the Bard because it connects with the different plants, trees.
Okay.
Yeah.
Since I did a Welcome to the Autumn Woods time of year. Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
Okay.
All righty.
One of my favorite pagan musicians. He's definitely in our top five.
Yeah, and he's had a series of virtual shows that he's done.
Concerts.
Yeah, concerts from his home in England since COVID started, because he can't travel just like everybody else. So we're all in this together.
Yep. So it's kind of nice. He's got a little area set up in the upstairs of his house that he does his little concerts from. And he's really cool. So we'll close out with him. So until then, I guess.
Many blessings.
Yep.
Take care of yourselves. Stay safe.
Wear your mask.
Wear your mask. Wash your hands. And we will see you in a couple of weeks.
Talk at you in a couple of weeks. Good night.
Good night, and blessed be.
Magic ring.
you for joining us on the Circle Sanctuary Network podcasts, presented by Circle Sanctuary and produced for all who follow the Nature Center paths. Join us here throughout the week for various programming connecting the community around the world. And please don't forget to watch for updates on the Circle Sanctuary website at www.circlesanctuary.org. And follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/CSNpodcasts. We can also be found on your favorite podcast hosting sites, such as iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, and others. And until next time, many blessings.